Okay, after morning greetings here, let's take a look on Daf Ches Omed Aleph. And we have a double machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in two cases. One is Bishalo Ervu and one is B'Ervu. And Bishalo Ervu means that if you have a chatzer that now, because of a pirtza, it spills into a mavui, then there's going to be a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel as to whether or not you need an eruv between the two groups, the bnei mavui from other chatzeros and this chatzer that now is opening up into the mavui. And we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And now we're talking about a case of Bishalo Irvu. So what's a machlokes? Again, just to review, in the case of Shalo Irvu, this we had back on Daf Zayin Omid Beis, that if there was no Erev between the Bnei Achatz and the Bnei Hamavui, and there's a Pirtza, so first of all, we had a machlokes whether or not if there's a double pirtza, right? There's a pirtza between the chatzer and the mavui, plus there's a pirtza between the reshus harabim and the chatzer. So there's one line that takes you from one reshus harabim all the way to the other reshus harabim. What's the status of this mavui? Is it considered a mavui mefulash? And if there was no eruv between between the Bnei Achatz and the Bnei Mavui, then we'll have a machlokes, even in a case where it was a chatzah that didn't have an opening from Rishus HaRabim, because again, that particular element is not relevant to the issue of Erevin, and we're going to have a machlokes now, if there was no Erev between the Bnei Chatzer and the Bnei Mavui, does the Chatzer generate an Iser on the Mavui? Because the Mavui doesn't have an Erev. And what we're saying here is that Rav holds Ein Oseres and Shmuel holds Oseres. And we basically said that according to Rav, since there was originally a blockage, a kosel, between the Bnei Achotzer and the Bnei Mavui, so therefore we view them as two, shall we say, independent entities. Shmuel says no. The Bnei Achatzer now have use to the Mavui once there's a Pirtza, and therefore the Bnei Mavui have to introduce and include the Bnei Achatzer in an Eruv in order to allow them to use the Mavui. And there's also, so again, if there was an Eruv and that would satisfy Shmuel, then we have to ask a question whether we need a Tzuras HaPesach as a Mavi Mefulash. So that's one machlokas. And then, if there was no Eruv, would the Bnei Achatzer be enjoined from being metaltal in the Mavui without an Eruv? And Rav would say, no problem, they could use the Mavui. The Mavui is like a separate entity. And Shmuel says no, because now the Bnei Achatzer generate an Iser on the Bnei Mavui. So the Gemara asked, B'mai Kamiflegi, what is the debate about? In both of these cases, in the case of Erevin, where there was an Erev, the Machlokas is whether or not this Mavui is called a Mavui Mefulash, and the case where there was no Erev, the question is whether the Bnei Achatzer generate an Iser on the Bnei Mavui in the absence of an Erev. So the Gemara said that Bishalo Ervu, if there was no Eruv, then the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is about the halacha of Nirim Mibachutz, Vishavim Mibifnim. So let's just quickly review. we have a mechitza that separates the chatzer from the mavui, and now the part that is blocking the mavui, that section of the wall, broke down, such that right now, if you stand in the mavui, all you'll see, if you look at the end of the mavui, is you'll see a chatzer. You don't see any kind of a mechitza that separates the chatzer from the mavui. However, it's nirim mibachutz. If you would stand in the chatzer, you would see the remnants, we called it, of the kosel, going to the right and to the left. Now, assuming that this pirtza is less than 10 amos wide, then it becomes what's called a Pesach. And we said the following. Again, I'm just trying to review that complicated halacha that we said yesterday. Remember, there were two conditions. So let's just, if you don't mind, go over that. He says that if there was no Pesach between the Chatzer and the Mavui, then the Bnei Chatzer would never be using the Mavui because it was closed off. There's a Mechitza between them. Now, there's a Pirtza, which we called a Pesach, and the Bnei Chatzer now have access to the Mavui. So does that mean now that the Bnei Mavui need a mechitza. I'm sorry, need an Erev. So we said the following, that you may say that ein regilim lishtamesh b'mavui zeh, that the Bnei Chatzer had no access before the wall fell down to this mavui, and therefore they don't generate an Isur on the Mavui. And that now, right, and now there's a Pirtza which we call the Pesach. So now the question is, the Pirtza which is a result of the breakage of the Kosel, and now there's a Pesach between the Chatzer and the Mavui. And now we're going to say that the situation changed and the Bnei Chatzer generated an Isur on the Mavui, which requires the Bnei Mavui to set up an Eruv in order to be Matir Tiltul in the Mavui. So the Gemara says that depends upon a Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding nirim mibachutz v'shavim mibifnim, which means that since there's shirayim, as we said, to this mechitza that separates the chatzer from the mavui, and those pieces of the remnants of the kosel are visible mibachutz from the mechitza, from the chatzer, excuse me, so do we therefore say that what? Since there's shirayim to the mechitza after the pritza, and therefore we should consider the pritza as a Pesach? Now wait a second. In which direction are we going here? Just let me see if I can get the calculation. If we're going to consider it as a mechitza, because there's shirayim of the mechitza, then we consider that as a Pesach. So if it's a Pesach, then the mavui, right, so the way I understand it, on this level, again, it's just, this is the surface level of what's going on here. is that if we view the Mavui as being completely open into the Chatzer, then the two have to unite into a, or by virtue of an Eruv. And that would be considered as a Mavui Shenifratz L'Chatzer. Nifratz means, you know, it opens up into the Chatzer and it's all one entity, one happy family. If, on the other hand, I'm going to define that pirtza as a Pesach, and that is because from the perspective of the Chatzer, we still have Shirayim of the Mechitza, is then we can separate the two entities here, the Mavui and the Chatzer remain two separate entities, and it's not that the Mavui is parutz into the Chatzer, and it's one, you know, it's just a continuation of the Mavui is the Chatzer, so the Mavui is just spilling into the Chatzer. So then we're saying that the Shirayim of the Mechitza, I forgot which were the two tzadim that I was saying, so let me go over it one more time. If we view it as if the Mavui is parutz into what? If the Mavui is parutz into the Chatzer, so it means that we don't consider the Shiari HaMechitza to be a Mechitza. And if so, then the Mavui is parutz into the Chatzer. That's one way of seeing it. The other way of seeing it is that since there are Shiari HaMechitza, right, the two sides, is therefore, this is not a Mavui that's parutz into the Chatzer, but rather it's a Mavui that has a Pesach into the Chatzer. And therefore the Mavui remains a separate entity, even though there's access from the Mavui into the Chatzer. This is going to be a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. We have a Mavui that's parutz into the Chatzer. If you're standing in the Mavui, then you don't see any Shirayim of this Mechitza. That's not visible to the eye. From the perspective of the Chatzer, if you're standing in the Chatzer, what you see in front of you are the Ksolim on the right side and the left side, which we call the Shiare HaMechitza, and therefore the Kosel is not considered, or the Mavui is not considered parutz into the Chatzer. So let's go through the two opinions. According to Shmuel, in this case of nirim mi bachutz v'shavim mi bifnim, then we view, just one second, we're talking about a case where there's no Eruv. So according to Shmuel, oh, I think what it means is the following. According to Shmuel, we're going to view this from Einstein's relativity theory. So relative to the Chatzer, because if you're standing in the Chatzer, you would see the Shirayim, the Mechitza is still there. So the Chatzer remains a separate entity. But relative to the Mavui, since if you're standing in the Mavui, you would not see any Shirayim of the Mechitza, therefore this is not a Pesach into the Chatzer, from the Mavui to the Chatzer, but rather it's a Mavui that's parutz into a Chatzer. And what that means is that the Bnei HaChatzer Osrim al Bnei HaMavui. I'm beginning to see a consistency here. Right? Before, before we mentioned that Shmuel is machmir and he requires an Eruv. And the reason for that is because he views the Mavui as being parutz into the Chatzer. So from the perspective of the Mavui, the Bnei HaChatzer and the Mavui are like, they're both, you know, so to speak, balabatim over this Mavui. Because the Mavui is parutz into the Chatzer. And we're all, as we said before, one happy family. Rav, on the other hand, says that the perspective of the person who's standing in the chatzer is powerful enough that it overwhelms or it overcomes that deficiency in the fact that someone standing in the mavui doesn't see the shirayim. And therefore, me'achar, since shall ome b'chatzer roa sheyesh shirayim mitzide apirtza, is moilim shirayim elu legabe amavui, gam legabe amavui, bnei amavui. So it's almost as if Rav says we have to be consistent. Once we validate, or shall we say we acknowledge that Mechitza is still a mechitza because of the shirayim, and that we do because of the perspective of the Bnei HaChotzer, then it's a mechitza. You can't say it is a mechitza and it's not a mechitza. Rav rejects this theory of relativity. So it means that when you're standing in the Mavui, what you see at the end of the Mavui is just a Pesach into a Chotzer. You don't see a Pirtza. And it's all imaginary because you actually are not aware, so to speak, from the perspective of your eyesight. You don't have any sight of the mechitza. It's completely parutz into the chatzer. But nevertheless, since this mechitza is valid from the perspective of the chatzer, it's valid even from the perspective of the mavui. And now we have a case of a Pesach that was opened between a Mavui and a Chatzer. And since the Bnei HaChatzer, before this Pesach was opened, were Ein HaDayorim Regilim, Lishtamish B'Mavui, they didn't get used to it, is therefore Einem Osrim Al Bnei HaMavui Es HaShimush Bo. And that's going to be the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in the case of the absence of an Eruv, where there was no Eruv. So before we had a case of Chatzer Shenifritza L'Mavui, and we wanted to know whether the Bnei HaMavui are allowed to use the Mavui for Tiltul without an Eruv, and that depends upon the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. Now be Eruvim. So let's see where we're up to. We're on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. And we're up to the word be Eruvim, which is on line 4, the last word in the line. Do you see that? Be Eruvim. So now we're getting back to an issue about a situation where if you're looking from the perspective of the Mavui in this direction or in that direction, what you'll see at the end is a Rishus HaRab. So is that called a Mavui Mefulash? But in truth, at least at the end of the Mavui on one side, the Mavui spills into a Chatzer. Okay, now we have Irvu. So Irvu means that even the requirements of Shmuel have been satisfied, and from the perspective of Eruvin, the Bnei HaMavui are allowed to be metaltal in the Mavui. But now the question is whether the Mavui is a Mavui Mefulash. So Gemara says, "Kam Miflegi b'Rav Yosef, the Machlokes shin Rav and Shmuel, as to whether or not we consider this Mavui as Mefulash or not, depends upon the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. I'm sorry, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel depends upon Rav Yosef. The Omer Rav Yosef, Lo Shanu, we're going back to the statement of Rav Yosef in the name of Rav Yehuda, of Mavui Shekola Lirchava. And Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Yehuda, that in such a case, we don't need any tikkun, because it's considered as a mavui sasum. Says Rav Yosef, that statement of Rav Yehuda lo shanu, that only applies ella shekola li emtza harachava. Avakol itzid harachava is asur. And this din is going to be the subject of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So what is kala li emtza harachava? And what is kala litzidei harachava?
Rabbi, I'm sorry. I think I lost the place. Where are we?
Oh, we are now five lines down from the top of Ches Amid Aleph.
Okay.
And we're talking about Omar Av Yosef Lo Shanu. Now we're six lines down from the top. Ela kala li emtza harachava. So we're trying to figure out, what is the difference between kala li emtza rechava and kala litzide rechava? In the first case of li emtza rechava, it's mutter, and that's when Rav Yehuda said you don't need any extra tikkun, as opposed to kala litzide rechava, and then it's asur. Asur means you need a tzuras ha-pesa. So what are these two cases? So again, we're talking about a pirtza between a mavui and a rechava. And the rechava means that there are houses on both sides, the right side and the left. You go down the mavui, and at the end of this, right, you have a kosel on your right, kosel on the left. At the end of this mavui, you enter into the rechava. Which part of the rechava do you enter into? So this is called emtza rechava. You spill in right into the middle of this chatzer. Again, we call it a rechava because, as we said before, it's the back of the houses that face this courtyard, not the front of the houses. And this mavui opens up into the rechava, and is an equal distance to the right and to the left, because the point where you stand as you finish the mavui, you get to the end of the mavui and you're now standing in the rechava, that point is the midway of the rechava. He says the following. He says, Shepirtza Shebein HaMavui L'Rechava, He Be'emtza Rochva Shal HaRechava. So the width of the Rocha, the width of the Rechava, if you would split it in half, that's exactly where you enter in from the Mavui into the Rochva. Mishnei Tzidei HaPirtza Mishracheves HaRechava Eilich V'Eilich. Now, what's the advantage of this case? Why is it that in this case, Rav Yosef says, according to Rav Yehuda, then you don't need a tikkun? And the answer is, because nikar shamavui eino mamshich ad l'rishus harabim el mistayim berechava. Wow. He says the following, that the whole reason that Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need a Tzuras HaPesach in this case, because it's not called a Mavui Mefulash, is because the Mavui spills into a Rechava, and the Rechava has a Din of Rishus HaYachid. Even though, if you continue straight, you'll end up in Rishus HaRabim, and that should make it a Mavui Mefulash and require a Tzuras HaPesach, but no, it spills into the Rechava, into Rishus HaYachid, and it's not a Mavui Mefulash. That makes sense. If it's clear to the to the naked eye, to the spectator, that this mavui is not continuing into Rishus HaRabim, but it's ending up in the Rechava. And when is it clear to the eye that the mavui spills into a Rechava? Stop. You remember the old telegrams, you know, stop. That's only when the pirtza at the end of this mavui into the Rechava ends up in the middle of the mavui. Aval kala litzidei harachava. But now what you have is a case where the pirtz at the end of the mavui doesn't end up in the middle of the rechava, but it's on the other end of the rechava, right? So in the diagram that he has here, he calls it Seir Gimel. In this case, he's got two houses on one side, instead of one house on each side. In other words, in the first case, when he ends up with Kola Liemtzer Chava, that means that there were two houses, the backs of which spill into the Rechava. So the Rechava, in its width, is from one house to the other. Now, in this case, of Kol Litzidei Rechava, he's got two houses on the right, and he's got a Rechava, and then a Kosel on the left side. There's no other house on the other side. So in such a case, it's considered, midrabanan, I guess, it's considered as a mavui mefulash. Now let's try to understand why. Since it's the mavui is now opening up into the katzah, right, to the real end of the rechava, because the houses are now all the way on the right. And the mavui opens up into the rechava all the way on the left, right near the kosel. So in such a case, it's considered as a mavui mefulash. In other words, it's not like the mavui spills into the rechava. The rechava is only like a way of getting out into Rishus HaRabim. He says the following. It's at the end of the width of this rechava. The kosel ar orech hamavui shave liechad mikosle harechava. Let's see if I can figure that one out. He's saying that the length of the wall of the length of the wall of the mavui. Just 1 second. Kosel orech hamavui shave liechad mikosle harachava. Oh, I understand. He's not talking about the length. What he means is that if you go down let's say you're walking down this alleyway, right? So you have a kosel on your left. If you take that kosel all the way to the end, you end up at the end of the kosel harachava. So the kosel hamavui continues past the pirtza, that line that represents the entry into the Rechava, and that kosel continues till the end of the Rechava. We told Kach, Nira ke kosel echad oruch, hamaska b'rosh hamavui, umistayim b'sof harechava. And therefore, mavui zeh nira ke mefulash. Why is this mavui considered mefulash? 1 second. I think what he's saying is that the logic of Rabbi Yehuda, you remember we discussed earlier whether the Chatzer and the Mavui are two separate entities. Now we're asking a similar question about the relationship between the Mavui and the Rechava. Are they two separate entities? In other words, can I say that this Mavui is spilling into a Rechava, or B, do I view the Rechava and the Mavui, so to speak, as one entity, and that entity spills into a Rishus HaRab? If I go with the first approach, that's going to be the case of Kola B'Emtza Rechava, which means that the Mavui spills into another entity, which is called the Rechava. The Rechava has its own independent personality and identity, and the Mavui has its own independent personality. And if that be the case, I have a right to say that if these two entities are separate, then one spills into the other. And that means that I'm going down the Mavui. Where do I end up at the end of this Mavui? In a Rechava. The second way of saying it is, no, the Rechava is just the continuation of the Mavui, and therefore, where do I end up when I finish this Mavui? I end up in a Rishus HaRab. Just like the the Rechava spills into Rishus HaRabim, so too the Mavui spills into Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because they're one entity. What makes them into one entity? The fact that the Kosel of the Mavui continues uninterrupted till the end of this Rechava. In other words, the wall of the Rechava, you got the houses on the right, you have this open area in front of the houses, it's again behind the houses, but it ends up in a coastal. That coastal is really the coastal of Mavui. You can conceptualize in a theoretical sense, well, no, that's not the coastal of Mavui, that's the coastal of the Rechava. But no, from the perspective of the naked eye, what you're seeing is the coastal of the Mavui. And Rabbi say again, if you don't have the diagram, it's a little bit hard to verbalize it. Would it be helpful if I lifted this up? Would you be able to see it? Yes? Okay, so let's see if I can do this. I'm just going to take all these pages out, because when I lift up the Sefer, these pages are going to go flying. Okay. Oh, by the way, if anyone's interested, I shouldn't forget, tomorrow at 9:15, I'm just mentioning it, if you want to join us, it's called Contemporary Halacha in the link, but it's a Parsha Shir on the Meshech Chochma. Okay, now let me see if I could lift this up. Now, what I want you to see is Tzir Gimel. So when I look at it, that's the one on the left. I don't know if it's, let's see, when I pick it up for you, it's going to be...
Should be the same.
Oh yeah, it'll be the same. It'll still be the one on the left. Okay, now let's see if I can do this, just so that you... I'm covering the one on the right, because that's not relevant to us right now. We're really focused now on the one on the left.
Okay.
Are you able to see anything?
Yeah.
The main thing I want you to see is that the wall, the left wall of the Mavui, continues straight uninterrupted to be the wall of the Rechava.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's, if that helps at all, then Tovolecha Bracha. Okay. Now, I'm not 100% sure why, and this might have to do with the Achronim here. There's a lot of literature here. It's unbelievable. This whole page is really on two lines of the Gemara, because there's tons of analytical comments here on the bottom. But he adds a point here, which I'm not sure, again, why this is so, but he says that distance between the right kosel of the mavui and the end of the left kosel is more than 10 amos. So again, keep that, you know, somewhere in the back burners. Right now, we have no clue why that is so. Now, let's try to analyze the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And we're talking about a case of Irvu. And now we want to know whether or not this mavui is called mefulosh, and it needs a tzuras ha-pesach, or it's not mefulosh. He says, Svara Shmuel, according to Shmuel, the way Rav Yosef understood Shmuel, Kishe kol ha-mavui liemtza ha-rechava, eino dome le-mavui mefulosh. So Shmuel says that we can view the mavui and the rechava as two separate entities, and the mavui now spills into a rechava, and therefore it's not a mavui mefulosh. Rav sover, shafilu kishakola mavui liemtza rechava, me'acher sheha omed b'mavui, roe mishnei tzidov, es rishus harabim, Shnei tzidov of what? Just one second. Rav sashi kol ha-mavui liemtza rechava, me'achash omei b'mavui, roe mishnei tzidov, es rishus harabim, is therefore, for rabim, bokim rishus harabim, ha'achas l'shnia, derech ha-mavui, the rechava is kein dino ki mavui mefulosh. But why? So why should we be more machmir in the case of kolali echad mitzidei harechava v'asur? Okay, that's not crystal clear. But anyway, Rav's basic shita is that if you're standing out in Rishus HaRabim looking into the Mavui, what you're going to see at the very end is another Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the Kosel ends up in the middle, the Tuxolim of the Mavui end up spilling into the middle of the Rechava. Which means that there's if the arrow flies, you have a view straight from one Rishus HaRabim to the other Rishus HaRabim. Yeah, it's almost like, again, this is more balabatish, but I would say the following. If you're walking down Rishus HaRabim and you want to get to the other Rishus HaRabim and there are houses in between, so instead of going all the way around the block, you take a look down this Mavui, and this Mavui will take you right into the Rishus HaRabim and you'll end up in the other Rishus HaRabim. So why go all the way around the block? But that's only in a case where it's kola liemtza rechava. If it's liemtza rechava, then the eye will see from one Rishus HaRabim all the way to the other Rishus HaRabim. He calls it Me'achash HaOmed B'Mavui. If you were standing in this Mavui and you look to your right or to the left, what you would see in any event is Rishus HaRabim. And the Rabim are Bokim, they break through, so to speak, one Rishus HaRabim into the Mavui to end up in the other Rishus HaRabim. And therefore it's called a Mavui Mefulosh. Now, I'm just wondering if anyone is bothered by my question about Kola Litside Harachava. Let me just see. Chidusha Shemavui Kola Litside Harachava Dina Kimefulash. Machlokes Ravin Shmuel is Bemavui Akoli Emtsa Harachava. He says, Il Mole Divre Rabbi Yosef Ayanir Lomar De Nechliku Rav and Shmuel bein bekola litzide rechava bein bekola liemtza rechava. So that's really interesting. That there is a havamina here. He says in the name of Tosfos that it could be that even in the case of kola litzide rechava, it would still not be considered mavui mefulosh. And that's what I wanted to say. But he says it's only a hava mina. He says, "Al pisa mafari shetchilas svaras hagemara shav huna rav Yehuda hitim b'movi akol rechava v'nifritzar rechava kenegdo gam." This is something else. Oh, he says, "Bekola litside ha." Why is it called a Mavi Mefulash? I'm not sure. I was hoping I would see something. Maybe you have a footnote. Why, in the case that I showed you, that Seer Gimel, which is Litzide Erechava, why is that considered a Mavi Mefulash? So I would have said because now the Mavui and the Rechava are considered one entity because they share one kosa. But I don't know if anybody says that here. So I don't know, maybe I could ask you, Don, as a favor, if you know where we're holding here, if you can somehow send this to me in the English translation on Ches Omer Aleph. Again, I'm not expecting that you have the time to do this, but I'm just, I can only just put in a request. He says the following, "B'kola li emtzer achava ein chidush b'kach she'eino nidon kimefulosh." I'm not sure what he means by that. It seems to me that it looks more like a mavi mefulash in the case where it's kol aliyem tzarechava. What does he mean? Ein chidush b'kach she'eino nidon kimefulash. Adarav, in that case, I would certainly consider it as a mefulash. Rav Ushmuel nechleku b'mavi akol aliyem tzarechava. Pirtzol rishus rab mechuvenis mamish kinegin amavu. Is l'rav nidon kimefulash mitnei shapirtza mechuvenes kinegdo. So what is Shmuel saying over here? That it's not mefulash because it spills into the chatzah. I would think there's more of a reason to say it's mefulash in the case of the emtza than in the case of tzide. The Gemara seems to be operating with the premise that if it's kolal tzide, then it certainly is considered a mavi mefulash. Why is that? I mean, at the end of this mavui, you hit smack up against a wall. You don't even see the reshus harabim here. Because it's tzidei achotzer. Why is it considered? That I don't know. So yeah, that's something that requires more analysis, more research. Well, let's just see if we can read one more piece of Gemara before I let you go. So the Gemara now goes back to the din of Mavui HaKol Rechava. Omar Rabba Hadi Amrit, that which Rabbi Yehuda had said, as Rabbi Yosef had quoted him, that if a Mavui is Kol Yemtza Rechava, is Mutter, and we see it as if the Mavi ended up in a Rechava, which is a Rishus HaYochin, and therefore it's not considered Mefulash. Lo Amoron, Ela Zeh, Shelo Keneged Zeh, Aval Zeh Keneged Zeh, Asur. So we have a case of Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. So what does that mean? Ze shelo keneged ze, she nifritzu hamavui varachava. Ze shelo keneged ze, she ein pirtzas hamavui mechuvenes keneged pirtzas harachava l'rishus harabim. Oh, that's exciting. This would support at least part of what I was saying. Aval ze keneged ze asur. So, when I showed you a diagram, and it's in the case of Kola Liemtza Rechava, so Rabbi is going to tell us that that's a Mavli Mefulash. Why? Because as I said before, that was my svara, that if you're walking down Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you want to get to the other side, so take a look to your right or to your left, depending on which way you're going, and you see a mavui, and at the end of that mavui, you're going to see a pirtza into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says Rabba, that for sure is a mavui mefulash. Well, what's the case where it's not a mavui mefulash? That's called zeh shelo keneged zeh, which means that when you go down the mavui, you enter into the rechava, and you want to get out from the Rechava to Shizaram, you have to make a left turn, because what's right in front of you at the end of the Mavui as a straight line through the Rechava is a wall. You have a picture of that? Let me try it one more time. My experiment here. And now we're looking on the right side, and we're understanding Rabbah. Rabbah is going to say, so that's closer to where my fingers are, if you see what I mean. So Rabbah is going to say that this is the case where we can do without a Tzuras HaPesach, and we consider it a Mavui Sasur. And why is that so? Because if you take a look at the picture on your right, you'll see that if you're walking down Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, looking through the Mavui, past the Rechava, you will end up at a brick wall. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Because the opening from the Rechava to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is to your left. It's not something that's visible as you walk down to the Mavui. And I think what Rava is saying is what I was saying before, that if you want to look for a shortcut, you know, to cut through the alleyway to get to the other Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, like, let's imagine you have, and this is so frequent, you'll see it here downtown Yerushalayim even, that if you have, you know, two streets, major boulevards, but there's no way of cutting across, if you see an alleyway, wow, look, at the end of the alleyway, I get to the other side. But that becomes a Mavui Mefulash. The case where it's not considered a Mavui Mefulash, says Rabbah, is where at the end of this Mavui, what you'll see is a brick wall, a kosa. Rav Mesharshia, Hadi Amrit, that which Rabbi Yehuda said, according to a Rabbah, said that the Mavui Akoli Emsa Harachava is mutter. Why? Because it's zeh shelo keneged zeh. At the end of the Mavui, through the looking to the Rachva, you're going to see a brick wall. Lo Amaron Ella Rechava de Rabim, Aval Rechava de Yachid Zimnin de Mimlach Allah. Ubani le batim vehavi le kemavui shekola litzide rechava v'yos. So he wants to know how many people are using this rechava. I mean, I know it's, is it a public kind of rechava, which again I don't know why the public are invited to use this rechava, but I guess it depends upon the real estate ownership in the municipality, I don't know. But let's say, you know, it's very nice that you have a house here and this guy has a house there, but that doesn't mean that the area in between is yours. It may be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because of the walls, but doesn't have private ownership. And that's called a Rechava L'Rabim, which means that the entire city has equal rights to use this Rechava. So then, we know that there are not going to be any changes. We don't anticipate any changes. What do I mean? That if it's a Rechava de Yachid, so let's say it's owned by one or two people, let's say the, you know, one house owner or two of these people, that's called the Yachid. And then we have to consider it as a Mavui Mefulash. Why? Because it's very common that, you know, you change the structure of this Rechava and you decide to what? Pamim Shabailim Nimlachim Al Rechava Shalo Ubani Le Batim. He might decide to build other houses, and if he builds other houses, yeah, here he doesn't give us a diagram, but if he puts in this Rechava other, you know, he constructs other buildings, so now what happens is that the opening between the Rechava and the Mavui is now Litzidei HaRechava. And that's also because we said before that if the Mavui ends up not in the middle of the Rechava, but towards one end of the Rechava, then that's considered a Mavi Mefulash. We weren't exactly sure why, but in any event, applying that here, you never really know where the Mavi ends up in the middle of the Rechava or on the Tzidei Rechava. You can never know, because the private ownership of the Rechava allows them to move things around. So they may decide to move it around in such a way that it'll be Bitzidei Rechava. And this is where we're going to stop for today. So let's see if we can make a note of where we got up to. We'll start with Omer Rav Misharshia, Imritz Hashem, on Yom Rishon. And today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. So I'll wish you a good Chodesh.